Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday the 23rd of July, recording at 10:05 p.m. Now first a quick look at the highlights here today, and it was very much a risk-off day. First, in Asia, we had heavy selling across the boards, and this reflected concern about China's economy, but it mostly reflected a concern over the European situation, not least all of the bad news regarding the solvency of Spain's different regions. Now, so again, heavy selling in Asia. Hong Kong Hang Seng Index down nearly 3%. The Nikkei down nearly 2%. Australia ASX 200 down over 1.5%. European stock markets were similarly clobbered, although they pegged back some of those declines towards the close, particularly for Spain and Italy, which had been down very sharply at one stage. European banks index also hit a new low, and then recovered some of those losses. Now, in the Americas, on the main markets, the only one on the plus side is Mexico, up over 0.25%. Everything else was hit, with Brazil down over 2%. Wall Street pegged back its losses. It at least halved them, but still closed down 12 points on the S&P, brings it back to 1350, and that's down 0.89%. Now, long-dated government bond prices against that background rose, with the exception of bunds, which those prices eased a little bit on the day. And the U.S. Treasuries were well off the highs that they had seen earlier in the day, so moving in response to in the opposite direction of what we were seeing with the U.S. stock market. Now, precious metals were weak today, but recovered much of those declines. Well, gold did, at any rate. But well, they all recovered from their lows, and the lows are hit about 1:30 p.m. That Greenwich Mean Time, that's UK time. But actually, that's British Summer Time, I should say. So midday over here, and then they staged some reasonable recoveries. For instance, gold was down over $20, I think nearly $22 at one stage, but is now down $7.50 in after hours trading at $15.97. And platinum had fallen well over $20. So you got down to 1389. It's lost at 1401 now. So you get the picture there. The industrial commodities were all weaker, I believe, with the exception we had a small rise in lumber, and we had a rise in natural gas. Natural gas was quite firm once again. And the agricultural commodities, I think we had everything lower except for cocoa. U.S. cocoa had a small rise. And in the grain and bean complex, we had some clear downward dynamics as soybeans really tumbled, excuse me, here from their historic highs. Corn had been down sharply at one stage, but recovered over half of its declines. Okay. And last but not least, in currencies, the dollar was strong. You'd not be surprised to hear the Australian and New Zealand dollars were weaker, and the euro, while down against the US dollar, it actually had key day reversals to the upside against the Australian and Kiwi dollars. That's after very big declines in, in the last couple of months. What else? I think that pretty much covers the bases, except the yen had soared against most currencies. Well, actually, it was up against all currencies, and the dollar had dropped down to 78, but we're now back at 78.38. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, obviously, investors are extremely nervous over the European situation. And as I said in my introduction, it was that talk about the various different regions of Spain being bankrupt and the belief, increasing belief, that this is going to necessitate a full-scale across-the-boards bailout. That's what alarmed investors, I think, more than anything else. And so we saw a definite deflationary sell-off in pretty well all risk assets before Wall Street steadied somewhat, getting back maybe half of its declines overall. Now, this is, needless to say, checked the rallies to the upside. In my audios last week, I'd mentioned that Wall Street, or the S&P specifically, that it's the first, the highest in its sequence of rising lows since early June. Was it 13? Is it 13.25? So we're within 25 points of that here now, and we are correcting a short-term overbought condition against a background of quite a bit of nervousness. And then there's the late July factor. As you remember, I've mentioned this before, and if you look at 2011, the last week of July produced the start of that stock market rout that I described as short, sharp bear market at the time. That, as I say, it started in the fourth week of July and then picked up steam in August and into September. Now, so that's a bit of voodoo out there that the markets will be worrying about here in the in the short term. It's a good time to be reasonably cautious here in terms of investments. If we were to see a sharp sell-off, and I'm not at all sure we will, but if we were, that though would create another buying opportunity. If I've said it once, I've said it dozens of times. Wealth is created in down markets and realized in up markets. U.S. bonds, and really, well, all of the so-called safe haven bonds, we saw new lows in yields for the majority of them in here today before they gave up some of that ground. And to me, well, this is an extreme move, and you've really got to be feeling that deflation is going to persist for year after year after year. There is some precedent for that. We've seen it in Japan and continuing, but are we going to have that in the UK and the USA, in Germany? Well, not so sure. I'm not so sure. Although I think we'll be more likely to see it in Germany than in the other two countries mentioned, the UK and the USA. But certainly, if we had a preference, and we do here, it would be for the sovereign debt of countries that have decent balance sheets. And those do not include the European countries, they do not include the UK and the USA. Now, I would also have a preference for corporate bonds, as has often been expressed. In terms of currencies, the euro is, well, just about every bank forex department is heavily short euros, and it has been relatively close late last week and today, dipping down closer to that 120 level against the US dollar. Now, that's been a target for a lot of people. So to find some sort of steadying by the euro around that level would hardly be surprising. And I mentioned in my introduction the small upside keys that we had for the euro against the Australian and New Zealand dollars. So I think we're moving into the territory where this euro trade is becoming more risky in the short term. I do not think that we're near the end of its overall downward move, and I do feel that it's part of the ECB's overall policy to engineer this euro lower. But it also needs to be borne in mind that while a lot of people are forecasting a breakup of the euro, and obviously that is a risk, although I think a total breakup of the euro is quite unlikely. But nevertheless, that's what an increasing number of people fear. But most central banks, and obviously the ECB, if not the Bundesbank, and at least privately, and obviously the Chinese, the Bank of China, obviously the Fed, the Bank of England, they all would like the euro to stay reasonably healthy, or to survive and then become reasonably healthy. Now, that's for the obvious reason that the euro is the second most important reserve currency right now, and the world's better off with having more than one reserve currency. So the point that I'm leading on to here is that with the euro oversold and with those big short positions, we are approaching a point where we're likely to, at some stage in the next few weeks, to see a little bit of a bear squeeze in here, or perhaps a significant bear squeeze would remain to be seen. But the more overextended the euro gets in the short term, the more likely that is to occur in the weeks that follow. Precious metals. Now, I've been saying daily in these audios for a while that I felt that and hoped that we were down here in a support building phase. That may still be the case, but it's kind of clinging to the ledge here in technical terms, or the chart action looks that way. And we have this sort of disconcerting repeating pattern of a sell-off occurring in the morning, which is then partially or more than partially or sometimes fully retraced in the afternoon. We had that again today. Reaching those lows around 1:30 British summer time, and then a reasonable overall recovery. But the trouble is, for those who are looking for bullish evidence, we've had some internal trampolining. I mentioned that on a number of occasions and illustrated that. You can see that on the daily charts in those narrow ranges. But when you look at the overall patterns, of course, they're top heavy and will remain so until or unless we get rallies that create at least short-term upward trends rather than just extensions to the current ranges that we're looking at. So we may have to wait for that. And there is a risk that, well, the one thing I have feared regarding precious metals is that if we get another wave of just general asset selling due to fears of Europe, due to fears of global economic slowdown, whatever, that can drag those precious metals lower in the short term because not sufficient, or in, I'll put it this way, insufficient support has been established in those charts at this stage to convince observers to come in and buy aggressively. So we're still in a delicate period here, I think, for all markets. The deja vu all over again point about the asset sale that we saw from late July onwards last year to the concerns over Europe, to the concerns over global GDP growth generally. There's a lot to keep investors on the sidelines, and I think that's exactly what's happening. So, let's see what tomorrow brings. All the best to all of you.